it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The drive is live.
We're working with Clint here.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Clint, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sturdy's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, it is. We're out here at BB's Cajun Cantina. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I like that. I like that. I've seen a lot. BB's, Tex Orleans. I've seen it a lot. I've seen it different ways. I like that Cajun Cantina. Patrick Creighton in the building.
There he is.
Patrick Creighton. They've got a little pep in his step. I don't know what's going on. Must be the weekend.
I owe him a bottle of champagne.
Oh, boy. Owen Patrick Creighton something is, I don't want to let that happen long.
Thank you. every part of it.
We are out here in Katy. What is the exact address, Ron? You said it 15 times. You got
four,
it open?
406.
406.
Grand Parkway.
There you go. Come through and see us. We are again at BB's Cajun Cantina. I just had, for those wondering, I just had the gumbo, and a couple things. It is a dark roux, tremendous. That box is checked. It's the only way to eat gumbo or etouffee, if you're being honest with you. Large bowl. It wasn't just a bowl that's slightly bigger than a cup, and you're like, hey, y'all call this a bowl to charge me double? No. It is a large bowl, tremendous. No potato salad, so I did have to go with the rice, which I'm okay. My wife is like really aggressive potato salad way. I'm kind of a 50-50 guy. It was tremendous. And our waitress here, Heather, I don't know where she went.
Shout out to Heather.
But she is from New Orleans.
She is.
Right? So it's a really good marriage here. Her and BB's is a really good marriage, right? So as you would imagine. But as she talks – there's not a real deep Cajun accent there, so I can't tell that she's from New Orleans. But the beautiful thing with Heather is I've heard her tell at least 5 to 10 people, hey, man, live your life.
Yeah, she is.
Hey, should I go half and half with this sweet tea, iced tea? I would prefer all sweet, but hey, you live your life. Make your decision. That screams New Orleans.
Yeah,
just live your life. Do what you want to do. Don't worry about it. Don't stress.
She go give you advice. She told her, "I go with the chicken po' boy, but live your life."
That's right. Nothing wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely, T. So come on down, and the vibes are good. The crowd is good. We're giving some things away. We got $25 Academy gift cards. Big shout out to Academy for always being on board with Sports Radio 610. We've already given away a free oil change, courtesy of Tomball Ford. By the way. My man E in the back, that oil change is good for any vehicle. Doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I wouldn't suggest pulling a Tesla up in there, but anything otherwise, bam, you got it, baby. And then we got Texans tickets that we're going to give away. You got to be here. You got to be present to win Texans tickets. We're going to do that a little later in the show, so come on through, grab some grub, grab some drinks. Make sure you put your name in the raffle right there, and we'll get you taken care of. BB's Cajun Cantina. In Katy.
And also, our first 50 people here, you got a chance to get you a commemorative glass. And I see Reggie's in the building. Reggie's face is on that glass. You get a glass of In the Loop.
That's right.
Yeah, and Reggie's in the building. You got big John Lopez, the OG, Figgy, and Reggie right there on the glass. So if you have not gotten one, you can walk away with that. Get you a nice little glass. We got a four glass set.
Yeah.
Already giving away Payne and Pendergast In the Loop this week. Next week is The Drive. And then the week after that, Patrick Creighton and Sean Bajani, Chris Santiago, Area 45. Four glass set.
And I'm doing everything I can to get a fifth one on there. B. Scott, I think you should be on a glass. I'm just telling you.
Somebody texted and said maybe Brandon gets his own shot glass.
I think Brandon, he does enough around the building to where he should get it. Oh, shot glass. That was nice.
Shot glass. Yeah, Brandon get a shot glass.
Wow. If we're going to do a shot glass.
I better give him a full glass.
Yeah, let's do it, man. I don't know. I would personally, I love you guys. I love Tyler.
You'd
I love
like
you.
A single shot.
I'd like a shot glass just myself with my head on that thing. Forget you guys. Just shot glass. I'd rather get it over with quick. Get it over with quick.
Yeah, that thing over with, huh?
But we got some good news on the Texans front, man. We got a Monday night football game, which we'll have a 1 hour show on Monday to really break this thing down and give you for what it's worth, give you guys our takes, our last minute takes before the game kicks. But there is an injury report, a Friday injury report, which, by the way, on a Monday night game, this is the equivalent of a Thursday injury report. So there still is one more practice day that the Texans will have. It's more of a polished day. We always called it that perfect Friday. Don't let the ball touch the ground. Everybody knows their assignments. It's quick. It's special teams heavy. You just kind of once over the game plan, all the details of the game plan. If you need extra reps, you get them that day. But you really get everything etched in stone before you go take the field. Typically, you do that on Friday. With this particular schedule, Monday night schedule, the Texans will do that on Saturday. So this is not the final injury report that we're getting here, but injury reports, if you're in Houston and you follow the Astros, which most Texans fans are Astros fans as well, injury reports have kind of become a part of your day. And some painful, some it really actually builds you up to the return of those players. So there is some good in it. And I've got one of those for you today. This is a positive injury report. The Ed Ingram, it was limited Thursday and was a full go participant in a Friday practice. Again, this was not your typical Friday practice. This was back in my day, it was fully padded. Today, I think it was probably just uppers. Right. So shoulder pads, helmets, longer practice, lot of 11 on 11 game plan stuff. So it's a little bit more physical practice, which tells me that abdomen that Ed Ingram was struggling with and forced him to miss last week obviously is better because he went full today, Ron. That is a really, really good sign. And we've talked at length, right, about, you know, what that means for the Texans, what Ed Ingram means for the Texans. And I don't know if this is a good thing or not, Ron, but there's no doubt about it that plugging Ed Ingram in at right guard gives you some flexibility and allows you to put your best offensive line on the field. What I think is going to be your best offensive line.
No, believe he's the starter.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what they told us before. We'll see what they think today, right? Because here's the deal. The reality of it is if you plug Ed Ingram in at right guard, you got to break the news to somebody that, hey, you ain't starting. After week one, you got to break the news to somebody that you're not starting. And I'll argue that both of the guys you got to have that conversation with, one of them is a rookie that has really opened eyes and been absolutely tremendous, all things considered, throughout camp. And that's Arionte Ursary, right? Very promising. I believe he is the guy that they want to lead their O-line room through the next 5 years. Like, that mentality is what they want. Do you tell that guy at left tackle? Because here's what's going to happen. You got Laken Tomlinson at left guard. You've got Jarrett Patterson at center. And you've got Ed Ingram at right guard, which is going to allow you to bump Tytus Howard to right tackle. I think that is absolutely going to happen. What do the Texans do at left tackle? 713-572-4610. 713-572-4610. You're Nick Caserio. You're D'Amico Rines. What do you do at the left tackle position? You paid a guy $12 million to $14 million, for being honest. There's a little 12 to 14 to be your left tackle, right? He has been a disappointment from a standpoint of just flat out ain't been healthy, has not been available. So caused some problems in training camp. Boom, in steps Arionte Ursary, the rookie out of Minnesota, and he's playing lights out. He's playing above board. He's exceeding expectations. Do you tell the rookie, hey, man, sit on the sideline, take a deep breath, and be a reserve tackle? He is the guy that could be a swing tackle if need be. He's a guy that can play both. Cam Robinson can't do that. Or do you tell Cam Robinson, hey, we're going to play the rookie, and Cam, you can sit back and you can back up moving forward? Who only can back up left tackle, he's not going to back up your right tackle. Your Nick Caserio show. Arionte Ursary, Cam Robinson, who you starting?
Well, it better not be Nick Caserio making this call. This has got to be a okay. D'Amico and Nick Haley.
You're D'Amico Rines.
Yeah, I'm D'Amico Rines. Arionte Ursary don't need a conversation. Arionte Ursary.
Okay, so you got to have the tough one with Cam.
Yeah, it ain't a tough one with Cam. This ain't a tough one. Cam, you wasn't starting. The only reason why you got in the game is because Ed got hurt. No, hell, this ain't tough, Cam. Come on, baby. We got you. And we still trying to look to move you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look here.
I mean, if it's between those two and everybody's healthy, I mean, this ain't even a conversation.
I don't know.
And
who
both
else.
Of them struggled last week. I will admit to that. But I mean, it's the young guy. He ultimately won the job not because he got hurt, but because he played well. No, Cam knows what time it is.
Yeah, look, I think it comes down to those two. I firmly believe that you're going to get the lineup that I said, and you're going to get one of those two at left tackle. And I agree with you. I don't know how it's not Arianti Urshree. This is a long-term play here. You're going to have to, let's be honest, you're going to help your left tackle any way it goes. You're going to have to have, whether it's running backs or tight ends or slide protections, you are going to have to assist your left tackle, whether it's a $12 million guy, Cam Robinson, or the rookie Arianti Urshree. And I say you got to bite the bullet on this one. You got to go with Arianti Urshree because I'll tell you what he does. Yes, he was a rookie last week. Yes, he completely whiffed on a couple plays and he struggled. There's no doubt about it. But when you talk about what D'Amico Ryans has asked this offensive line to do, be physical and finish. Those are the two things. Be physical and finish. If you want to add strain to that for those football heads out there, be physical, strain, and finish. Stay connected to whoever your guy is in the blocking scheme. Stay connected to him. Arianti Urshree can do that. And Arianti Urshree, when he does square you up, there is a level of physicality there that I don't think is there with any other player on the Texans' offensive line. There's an ability that's way up here, right? And there's a physicality that matches it. And when he squares up a defensive lineman, nobody in the offensive line room compares.
Yeah.
Nobody. I mean, it's just plain and simple. Nobody does. So I'm with you, Ron. I think you got to go Arianti Urshree. However, I do believe that's a more difficult conversation than I know it's not for you.
Not for me at all. But
to have you're talking about a veteran that you brought in here. You paid the guy $12 to $14 million, and you brought him in here to be the starting left tackle, and all of a sudden, hey man.
Going into week one, like going into the week, he knew he wasn't starting.
Yeah, but that's a little. I've been injured. I've been sick. This is out of my control. Hey, coach, I understand it, man. I hadn't been available. Now all of a sudden, he practiced for a week, played in a game. He's been back. I'm assuming he's not on the injury report. He's been full all this week. Now you got to go in and tell a veteran that you paid $12 million to that. Hey, man, you're healthy and all, and you played last week. But now we got a better option.
You think Cam's thinking back to the original plan? Titus at guard?
No, hell no.
That's what he thinking.
Oh yeah. You told the whole world that the offensive line played well. What happened?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? No, I think that's a tough conversation. I think I don't think they care. I think D'Amico has no problem with tough conversations. But I think I'm not a believer in it, Ron. I'm not a believer in it at all. In fact, I cringe when they say it. This whole best five, when you're referring to the offensive line, I cringe when they say it, but I do believe with a healthy Ed Ingram and the right decisions made, I think they're going to have their best five out there.
This coming off of this conversation, Aaron Wilson a bit ago, Texans starting right guard Ed Ingram upgraded to full go, clearing a path for the original tackle depth chart to show up on Monday night against the Buccaneers. Titus at right tackle. Arianti Urshree at left tackle, barring any setbacks, that is the expected plan.
Yes, I'm that's music to my ears. For all the Texans fans out there, this is what should be like. I mean, you got to cross your fingers, man. You got to say a couple prayers for Ed Ingram tonight. One, for health reasons. Two, if he goes out there and plays well, you got a chance to be a much improved offensive line, man. I know I'm higher on Titus Howard at right tackle than most, but I want to see Titus Howard given the opportunity to play right tackle for an extended period of time on an offensive line that can run the football, that can communicate, that can do some different things. I think he will be absolutely tremendous at right tackle. Not just good, I think he'll be absolutely tremendous at right tackle.
Yep. All right, coming up as we continue here, more giveaways. If you're in the building, put your name in our raffle box and you can have a chance to win a gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. That's what we're hooking somebody up with in the 4 o'clock hour. And, of course, Texans tickets, they're coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, courtesy of our Houston Ford dealers. All right, Astros news. The lineup is out. We'll let you know about that. And one of the, if not the longest tenured Astro. There is news on him, and he may not be on the roster anymore. We'll discuss that and let you know that coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's Tex Orleans and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. BB's here as we are in Katy, right off 99. We'll be here till 6 o'clock, and you need to be here and come hang out as we are having a good time. Heather is taking care of, I believe, everybody in this bad boy. Reggie's out here. Patrick Creighton's out here. It's a good time being had. And you can still win plenty of prizes, including Texans tickets coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. I am going to warn you, you're going to be angry, especially Clint will be, and Tyler probably as well, when I tell you the lineup today. I would assume it would be time to get rid of the planned day offs, but apparently.
Oh, no, man. Don't worry about that.
Not today, after you just moved into a first place tie. I will read the lineups to you, and there's some Lance McCullers news potentially. The
tight
lineup today.
Type for him?
No, I don't know yet. We'll see. He's not listed on the lineup card, and Colton Gordon is, and so he's got to come up for somebody. According to Chandler Rome, Lance McCullers Jr. is not listed on the lineup card. Colton Gordon can only be coming up to replace a player going on the injured list. So we'll see, and maybe something's happening there.
Did you make it up, or is he insinuating that that's
I'm just reading what Chandler Rome of the Athletic
could potentially
said.
Be Lance.
Yeah, he's the only one not on the lineup.
Oh,
card.
I got it. I follow you now. I'm there now. It took me a while to process, and I'm with you now.
Here is the lineup today. Correa leads off. He's playing shortstop.
Wow, lead off.
It's Jeremy Peña needs.
Oh, hell.
Jeremy Peña needs a day off. Carlos Correa leading off, playing shortstop. Alvarez is the DH. Altuve batting third, playing second. Sanchez is batting cleanup in the outfield. Caratini is catching tonight. And then Christian Walker is at first base. Jake Myers in center. And then this Cole fella. He is getting a start in the outfield today. Just called up, and he is getting a start in the outfield today. And then Mauricio Dubon is playing third tonight. So that is the lineup. Why not break him in? Break him in as Zach Cole gets his first start as the game or as the division lead is up and they're tied with the Mariners. Zach Cole gets his major league debut. He gets to go today in the outfield, and Jeremy Peña is out. I'm guessing a planned rest day.
Well, you see, here's like I thought Zach Cole. I saw it, and I'm excited to see the young fella. Apparently, a big time prospect. That's swung the bat well in the lower levels, and so I'm excited to see him up. I was under the impression that Zach Cole would get that run the minute that. Sanchez had to face a left-handed pitcher, because his numbers, I believe, versus a lefty are south of Melton's overall numbers. So I thought Zach was – I didn't know he was going to get up so – he was going to come up so Peña could have him an off day. Excuse me. I mean, what are we doing? I'm telling you, man.
Jeremy.
I'm trying to do the
Jeremy
best I can.
Jeremy Peña, baby.
There's a wild level of arrogance.
Just planned off day.
This is silly.
Yeah. Planned off day.
This is silly. No Jake yesterday. No Peña today. We just gonna rest some 300 hitters, boys. If you're hitting over 300, you're gonna get a day off, no matter what the situation.
Hey.
I don't like it. As you can imagine,
well,
don't like it.
Of course you shouldn't like it. I didn't think Jeremy Peña was gonna sit down today. I thought you might get the full lineup today. I thought that might be the deal. Nope. We'll see. We'll see what they do. Interesting decision there to go for the Astros. Again, if you missed the lineup, Correa, Alvarez, Altuve, Sanchez, Caratini, Walker, Myers, Cole, Dubon, and Murray is pitching.
Big Murray. Jaden Murray on the ball.
Jaden Murray and Cole in this bad boy together. Why not, man? Biggest game of the year? Why the hell not? We'll see. So They're in Atlanta.
Got
that's
a McCullers update for you if you want it.
Oh, please.
Oh,
give it
hell
to
yeah.
us.
Let's
it involves
get it.
The injured list.
Nah. No, not Lance.
Jim,
no,
thank you, man.
No, let me give you this update.
It better not be a damn blister.
Astros GM Dana Brown a little while ago on the flagship. McCullers is on the IL with right-hand soreness, and he is headed back to Houston right now. Paredes will take live batting practice tomorrow in Florida, and he is, quote, very confident they have a chance to get Paredes back. That's the latest from the GM who keeps it real, boys.
I'm not laughing, man. He tried to back up that right hand, that right hand injury to get him to the IL.
No, right. All joking aside, this is what I was talking about.
To let us know that Paredes may be back.
But this is what I was talking about yesterday, man. This is what it's come to with Lance McCullers. And I'm not complaining. The reality is that this is where we're at with Lance McCullers. But how quickly it happened with Lance. I mean, Lance has been so bad that they bumped. Like, when you need a third and fourth starter, I mean, you need a competition. Hell, you don't need – I mean, you just need a competition to get to who that third and fourth guy is going to be. And Lance hadn't even pitched well enough to stay in that. And now, all of a sudden, he gets bumped to the bullpen, and he pisses down his leg there. And it's been so bad that it's like – like, I'm legitimately worried about Lance McCullers not being on his team, and now we got a sore right. The minute I heard his – go back on what's my man's name that announced that gave that, the reporter?
Oh, is it Chandler?
Chandler Rome. Yesterday, Chandler Rome said that my man at the pitcher that got called up.
Oh, Murray.
No, not the one pitching tonight. The one that got called up is taking Lance's place.
Oh, Blue Ball? Or who are you talking about?
You just mentioned his name. Nonetheless, the minute he said that the only way Lance could go down is if
Colton Gordon.
Colton Gordon. Sorry. The only way Colton Gordon could come up is if Lance McCullers – or if there was an injury
– to Lance McCullers.
No, to anybody.
To anybody, yeah.
And when I saw – I said, boy, Lance is in trouble.
Well, he was
that's,
the only
that's
one.
Where, that's how bad it's gotten for Lance. The minute I heard, like, this pitcher can't come up unless it's an injury issue
– bury me
I was like,
in the H –
you got to make something up about Lance. Well, he's the only one you can bounce.
And he was the only one that didn't put on the lineup card.
Well, this yeah. was before all that. Okay. This was yesterday when Chandler suggested that the only way that Colton Gordon could come back up is if somebody, if via injury. And any injury to any Astro.
And I went,
oh boy, Lance, it's going to be. Lance, look out, man.
They came up with right hand soreness.
They didn't go with forearm and elbow.
It's not ideal.
They
got to
stay away from his elbow and his forearm, bro. They're going to scare folks.
Text line coming in. Right hand soreness. Dude making too much coffee. Guess he skipped the cold brew.
Has anybody been to his coffee shop yet?
No.
I'm going.
Because
I feel for him, man. It's the least I can do is go buy a coffee at a spot.
Right hand soreness. All right, Lance. Damn it.
What would you do if we went in there and they were making all the coffee with their left hand only?
This is getting out of control. So Lance goes to the IL. What is it? Does it matter? Is it 15? Yes, 15 days. Lance is being placed on the 15-day IL due to soreness in his right hand. All right.
Well, the one thing with Lance.
I wonder who got to pick it.
The one positive with Lance is it was probably an agreement. Don't say it's my forearm. Don't say it's my elbow. I've had too much trouble.
Yeah, who picked the blister? Who picked it? Who picked the injury?
I mean, if you're Lance, you can stay in somewhat a good frame of mind because it's just a matter of time before somebody else's arm falls apart and you're the only option they have.
They played Twister.
Yeah, I mean, at some point it's just like, hey, man, come on back up, Lance. We need another arm in that bullpen.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. He was so bad in the bullpen, I'd rather him start. I mean, he's made a strong case for him to, like, what
I
he said.
I told you, bury me in the bullpen.
You know what?
Baby.
He told us. He told us when he came back, he said, it's harder to come out of the bullpen with coming off injury like this than it is to be a starter. He told us it never should have happened. Espada must not have listened.
By the way, somebody wants to get into a fight with you on YouTube and Twitch. Oh, Robert said, I disagree with you on the dark roux. It's not the best for you. Maybe dark roux is something new. As far as I'm concerned, it tastes burnt to me. I like – calm down. I like it more dark. I don't like it dark.
it's just me. Somebody's trying to fight you, man.
Well, no, I mean, the fact that he said it's just me, he ain't trying to fight me. He just got an opinion. I'm fine. If you like that creamy pinkish tannish roux and all your etouffees and gumbos and stuff, that's cool. I'm not mad at you about it. I'm just not going to order it. I mean, I'm not eating.
The dark roux is a very serious thing for you. That's one of the first things I learned.
We're talking about my favorite food on the planet. We're not talking about just a preference along at a restaurant. We're talking about my favorite food on the planet. When you're talking about Cajun food in general, but if you're talking about a gumbo in particular or an etouffee, crawfish etouffee or any kind of gumbo, it's got to be a dark roux. For me, I don't mean to offend anybody out there. Hell, I'm okay with it. Do whatever you want to do. But for me, if it's not dark, I don't want it. Period. And I'm going to tell you, hey, go to Papa Do's and eat that two crawfish. Well, I probably shouldn't say that. I'm just saying.
Or come right here to BB.
I don't know. I only say I don't know what they're. I don't know what it
next.
Is here. I've not had the etouffee here. I don't know. I just know that the roux at Papa Do's etouffee is dark roux, and that is the staple for me.
That's the staple.
For I don't know what the roux is here. I know what their gumbo here is. Yeah. I don't know what the crawfish etouffee is.
Gumbo was dark.
Give me about an hour. I'll let you know.
As Tyler said.
Yeah, coming up next. Appreciate you, T.
Coming up, brother.
Somebody will be a winner for a $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. If you have not done so, put your name in the raffle box and you can be a winner. And we'll look at, as it is Friday, we still have Monday, but we'll look at the key matchups here. The key matchups in this game, as we're learning more injury-wise, the key matchup in this game between the Bucs and the Texans. That's next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's Tex Orleans and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, congratulations to Mike, our latest winner. We still have more prizes for you to get hooked up with. If you're on your way, make sure you stop by our raffle box and put your ticket and your name in there. And you'll have a chance to win coming up in just a bit. All right, Clint, let's take a look at this because the Texans, this is a big game for them, obviously, and they need to come away and get to 1-1 at home. You don't want to lose at home to a really good Bucs team. As we talked to J.C. Allen yesterday, who covers the Bucs for Sports Illustrated, saying they've got Super Bowl aspirations. They're trying to take the next step as the Texans are, and they're 1-0. What are some of the key matchups in this game between the Bucs and the Houston Texans?
Well, I got a couple of them on the defensive side of the football. Yeah. I know we've talked a lot of offense, man, and the offense has got so many things that they've got to be better at, so many decisions that they've got to make before they ever take the field. That's going to help them. I mean, we can. There's a long laundry list of matchups there that we can talk about. Let's talk about the defense, though. Look, the fact you mentioned it earlier. The fact that the Buccaneers have you know tackles right now that are all of their tackle options right now are dealing with some level of an injury, or they are a guard playing outside. And so when I look at the Bucs tackles and the way their quarterback stylistically loves to hold the football, they love to drive the football down the field, I think the matchup to watch is Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, which we can say every week, but when they're going against tackles that are banged up or tackles that aren't necessarily ramped up or guys that are coming off of a, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 week hiatus because of an injury, there is a real advantage there, Ryan. So I think it starts for me with the Texans defense, which is their identity and where it all starts and stops with the Texans. And literally within that defense, the two lead horses are Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. And so I think it starts there versus some tackles that appear to be beat up.
Yeah, and listen, in most games, Clint, I think they should be winning that battle anyway.
Yes.
When you have Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson coming off the edges, especially in important downs.
Yep.
But they damn sure should not just win this one. This should be a dominant performance. There are certain matchups in games where you could watch and it's like, all right,
you may have had a game plan coming in, but because they are playing in such a way, you may be forced to have to change things around. You may force them to have to go quick game or force them to have to do things or run the football. That is something that you would think that DeMeco should be able to have an advantage with those two against those tackles.
Well, look, we watched the game last night, and look, the Washington Commanders they traded for Laremy Tunsil, obviously, and drafted another tackle in the first round. They've got some serious draft capital and monies tied up in their tackles. And last night, when you look at what Green Bay was able to do defensively, and obviously Micah Parsons is out there, but he wasn't the only one hunting last night. He wasn't the only one causing problems. What's big boy's name?
Sean Geary.
There you go. He got him one last night, if not multiple. So, you know, I think that is what you look for is – you know, that's what you compare them to. I mean, they those two guys, that Green Bay defense was going against a pretty good, definitely on the edges, pretty good offensive line for Washington, and they created havoc all night long and made life hell for Jaden Daniels. And so, you know, that's what you got to expect the Texans to do week in, week out, but definitely this week when you've got a guy like Baker Mayfield who wants to hold the football and drive it down the field.
I'm with you on that. I look for, especially if one of them are out, I look for a dominant performance from those two guys. Hell's going on over here.
That's where I'll start right there. I'll start right there at the tackles for the Texans. I mean, for the Bucks with Hunter and Anderson. And then I'm gonna move. You mentioned this earlier, and I think we've kind of danced around it a little bit. And I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill with it, but the Derek Stingley Jr. is so important for this defense. I mean, he's got to be a guy that's a lockdown corner. He's got to be a guy that in critical situations, which we've talked about, right? One of the answers to Jalen Petrie getting matched up on Puka Nacua or Davante Adams in crunch time, one of the things that can keep that from happening is if you lock Derek Stingley Jr. up on the opponent's best wide receiver, which is always an option. So, I know he didn't play maybe up to expectations last week, but Derek Stingley is one of the best corners in the league. I think this week, I don't know if it's Evans. I would imagine that it is Evans. But Derek Stingley Jr. Being able to match up in critical situations with Evans or Ibuka or whoever it is to eliminate them from the game plan, that matchup is big this week too. I mean, because, again – the identity of the Texans is their defense. And if Derek Stingley Jr. and the two defensive ends can play at or above their ceilings, you're going to be able to win a lot of football games.
Yeah, because it didn't seem like he did it last week, right? They got Adams and Nacua.
Yeah,
he was on Adams more, but it didn't seem like it was a deal. All right, you just have him the whole way, because we even saw Adams get – in the slot and get matched up against linebackers or safeties too. It'd be interesting if he says, "All right, man, I'm gonna put Stingley on one of these two guys, especially if Chris Godwin is unable to go."
Well, they're gonna have to eliminate the motion where you put a tight end outside or a lesser receiver outside and bring your horse inside in the slot. If that's all teams have to do to get somebody matched up on Jalen Petrie, they're going to eat our lunch all year long. And so the way you combat that is you say, Derek Stingley Jr., you got Evans anywhere he goes. If he motions in, you go with him, and then we'll bump it outside. Like that is an easy fix. And I don't know. Look, I start the game this week just like I started it last week, and if you keep the score down 14 or less through 3.5, 4 quarters, and you're doing a good job. But if at any point in time you feel like the Bucs have a bead on what you're doing, which they will, you put too much on film last week, they're going to have to adjust some things. Stingley then gives you the option to go, hey, you follow Evans anywhere he goes, and we're going to do – we may play man opposite. We may play some kind of hybrid zone opposite. But, damn it, you're taking Evans out of this ball game. And that matchup is going to be key. It was a rough first week for Stingley, no doubt about it. I think the fact that the Rams were willing to go, no, we're going to go at him. We're going to go at him. We're just going to go at your best player because we feel like our guy's better. And they got the best of Derek Stingley a couple of times last week. It wasn't his best game, but I've not lost any confidence. I think you got to lean into that even more this week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some guys are going to get you. Davante Adams and and Matt Stafford are a pretty good combination.
Yeah, they've been at it a while.
Yeah, they're a pretty good combination. All right. Also, I think one thing here, and I was talking to Tyler about this earlier because CJ was talking about this. I think this is another key to the game as well. CJ was talking about how they have to help out Nick Caley and spoke about the things that they need to do that kind of can create one of the matchups that needs to be adjusted in this game. Here is CJ Stroud talking about helping his offensive coordinator and the team and the offense helping him.
We got to help Kels out, man. I think that's my biggest thing personally. And I think for the guys is not giving – what play are you going to call on second and 15, second and 25? And we've had these problems for years, you know. So third and 14, third and 12, like you can't live in that. And we do our coach a discourtesy of that when that's controllable by us. So I think that's a start. Personally, I got to be better just – pocket movements and, you know, checking the ball down when I need to check it down. And at the same time, staying aggressive. So, I think we just need to build a rhythm early on better. And I think we'll be better from that.
All right, that's CJ talking about how they can help their OC out. And listen, I think he's accurate in some of those things he's saying. And they could help him out with some of the pre-snap penalties. But also, I think a big adjustment in this game, Clint, has to be Nick Caley better in the early downs. I don't think it was just them. I think also he's got to get a better feel, and obviously this is his first time calling plays, but he's got to get a better feel for things early on in downs and a better feel of what his team is able to do. His offense is able to do out there, so they're not in those situations.
Yeah, look, man, I mean, I just wholeheartedly disagree with the notion that D'Amico and CJ are floating out there. I mean, obviously, football 101, penalties are going to kill you. Obviously, if you get into second and long and third and long, however it happens, it makes things more difficult. But we can't get in those situations and then pout about it. Like, right, I mean, at the end of the day, your offensive coordinator – has to be a weapon in all situations, but definitely if you get into second and 20, okay, we got to be a little bit more aggressive. I mean, hell, I can go out there and run it on second down and then go, oh, well, it's third and 12, man. I'm really got my hand, I'm handcuffed. I can't do anything. Like, they got to figure out a plan about to combat those situations. You don't whine about, you know, what, you know, how you were behind the chains several times. You go out there and you adjust and you have a plan and you make it happen. Look, it's true. The team can't contend. The more they put their offensive coordinator in a position where he's got to make second and third and long calls, obviously it's a tough spot to be in. But, damn it, that's why you get paid $1 million a year, is to go out there and make them kind of calls and figure it out. And so, you know, that's – while I agree with the overall notion, I don't like the, well, we got to help.
I agree with the notion that they've got to do better in the early down.
Yeah,
But I think, yeah, it's some of them, but I think also they got to, just like last year.
Yeah.
they weren't put in the best situation early in downs, and I think it's the same thing.
This is one of those cuts, audio cuts, you know, off of just the X's and O's of it, is that, like, I love, like, you hear the difference in CJ. Like, I can't wait for the moment when CJ comes into his own and doesn't care what anybody else thinks, right? Like, CJ talked about, like, remember when he was talking about the center? They asked him about Jarrett Patterson?
Slime.
And called him slime. Well, that's obviously just authentic. But then he went into, like, unfortunately, man, I spent a lot of time taking snaps from a second string center. You know, like right there, he goes, hey, man, it's happened a lot. It happened way too much since I've been here.
Yeah.
Being in second and long and third and long. Damn it, we got to get better.
Yeah.
Ain't no guy, I got to help this guy, I got to help that guy. Now y'all all collectively have to be better.
Yeah.
You know what you can do to be better? Get the ball to Nico Collins on first down. That's one way you can get better. You know what you can do? You can do to get better is, how about early in a game when you're on the road? Let's just snap the ball on the first down. Let's not hold the line at the line of scrimmage and get a false start, right? Let you know those kind of, like, figure out. Just figure it out. There's answers to it. And this whole, we got to help this guy. No, if y'all mess up, let's be honest. This is the way I feel. When the team messes, we're out there playing. When the team messes up, and whether it's a penalty or a sack or whatever, All right, Coach, we are in a second and long. We're in a second and 15 situation. Help me out, man. This is when I need you. Hell, I don't need you on third and two.
Yeah.
I don't need you on second and five. I mean, I need you. I need you as a weapon on second and 12. That's when I need you the most. And that's so I, like that's to me is where this team's got to get at some point. They got to get to that to there. And it's early in the season. Hopefully they'll get there.
Live here from BB's here in Katy. Make your way out here. A little 5 o'clock fire as we continue right here next.